Right, today is widely known as Divorce Day, when lawyers apparently get a big spike in couples asking to D-I-V-O-R-C-E to divorce. I'm not sure if that's actually true or not. We'll chat about this in a sec. But what is true, that in 2022, divorces are changing. So let's find out how by speaking to Sophie Dodds from Sinton's Law Firm. Welcome to the show, Sophie.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for chatting to us. Happy Divorce Day. If there is such a thing, is it true? Do you see more divorce queries on the first working Monday of January, or is this just all a myth?
So it's not a myth as such. Oh. There is a history of Divorce Day being the first working Monday back after the Christmas break, which is, of course, today. And we did used to see a pattern that there was a surge of inquiries on this first day back. And this was often due to the new year and those looking for a new start and not wanting to bring disruption to their families over the Christmas period. But 2020, of course, was a prime example where there was no patterns or trends. So it is difficult to know what is in store for us for the working day to day.
Yeah. Is it a day you look forward to or a subject you look forward to? Because it's so painful. Or do you see yourself as part of the solution to a painful problem?
It is, and of course those first inquiries are intense and those meetings are a lot because it's often the first time people are talking about these things, so they can be very difficult, but we do try and take people through the process step by step, so hopefully by the end of that meeting, as much as it can be painful to talk about it, they know exactly where they're going and they have a clear pattern of how they're going to resolve their problem.
I see that the law changed in April this year, Sophie, to bring in a no-fault divorce. How will that work?
Yes, so many are actually saying that the so-called divorce day, which should usually be the first working day back, may actually be delayed until April in 2022 because of that reason, with the introduction of no-fault divorce. So at the moment, there is one ground for divorce, which is the irretrievable breakdown of marriage. And this needs to be backed up by one of five facts. Three of those rely on a couple being separated for 2 years or more. Meaning if a couple wishes to separate within the 2 years of separating, they have to blame the other party by either relying on adultery or unreasonable behaviour. So from April 2022, it won't be necessary to use one of those five facts anymore. And all that is required is a simple statement confirming that the marriage has broken down irretrievably. So we are hoping that, of course, this will bring around some more kind of amicable divorces. Mm-hmm. And those couples who simply have drifted apart and there's no blame on either side can actually get that divorce they want without waiting that 2 year period, which in my opinion has just been completely unnecessary. And the law has really needed to change for quite a while.
So will this make your job a lot easier?
It's too soon to confirm that, but I do believe it will reduce the animosity between the parties, which is a huge part of our job as well, having to kind of liaise with the other side and make sure everyone stays as amicable as they can. So in that sense, I'm hoping that it will. And like I said, it's been a change that we've needed for so long. And couples shouldn't be punished for simply drifting apart. And they should also not have to wait 2 years from separating to divorce without blaming one another. So in that sense, in the aspect of reducing the animosity, I am hopeful that it will make the job a little easier, yes.
I suppose the flip side, some people listening might think, well, we went through a rocky patch, but we stuck together. And this might mean there is a risk that this will make divorce too easy for some couples.
Yes, so with the change in the process, so like I was saying about that statement of irretrievable breakdown of marriage, mm-hmm. judges are to take that as conclusive evidence and on face value, so there'll be no need to provide any further proof that the incident cited in the divorce petition occurred. So I guess in some aspects, some may be thinking, is it too easy? Because they can mm-hmm. just submit a statement and the judges just have to accept it. There'll also be the removal of the ability of the other spouse to object to the divorce, so they don't have the opportunity to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So I guess there's some fear that the divorce process will become too easy, but what I can say and what is good is then they're now introducing a minimum time period of 20 weeks with a cooling period of 6 weeks.
All right.
So parties have some time to ensure that they are definitely making the right decision.
Right, and I suppose this makes things a lot better, I hope, for those in abusive or controlling marriages.
Exactly. And yes, they obviously don't have to blame their partner if they don't want to, but obviously flipping that on their head, parties will no longer be able to blame one another. So it was understood at the beginning that no-fault divorce would simply become another fact that you could rely on. So we have five facts at the moment, so then we would have six with no-fault divorce. But it's actually understood that all of the facts are going to be removed and we're going to have no-fault divorce, and that is all. So this obviously might be disappointing for some partners who have suffered from adultery or unreasonable behaviour and have been in those abusive relationships, which has literally caused the marriage to break down. They're not going to be able to get maybe that closure that they wanted from that divorce petition. But what I would say is that everyone has to remember that no matter what the fact is that you use to apply for the divorce, it should not have an impact on the financial settlement reached. So I think a lot of people worry that if somebody commits adultery, for example, this does not automatically mean that they should get a significant amount less of the matrimonial assets than the other. The court would only take into account bad behaviour from either party unless it was extreme.
Sophie, thanks for joining us. Very well explained. Sophie Dodds there from Sinton's Law Firm in Newcastle.